Bless the Lord. Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year's.
Good evening, Deacon. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year.
Bless the Lord. Yes. Today is the 3rd of January, 2026. You know, a couple years ago, or even last year, it would look so distant, but we are in it. With all that it has to offer, we pray for good health and strength. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We pray for protection. We pray that all the best will be in order for each and every one of us. You know, we pray that it will indeed draw us closer and closer to our Lord. You know, and that we will be rooted and indeed grounded in Him, more secure, more, stronger in Him. Amen. That's my prayer for you this evening. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Nothing good that we have done to deserve this. To be in your presence once more. But it's all because of your grace and your mercy. Lord God, I pray that this evening as we come for another Bible study, that your presence will be with us. We know that where your presence is, There is joy, fullness of joy, and there are pleasures forevermore. We pray, mighty God, that every yoke will be broken, and you, Lord God, will speak in your might and in your power. We pray, mighty God, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. Yes, we completed last year looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 16, where we spoke about head covering, whether it be with the hair or with the or with a shawl or something over it or whatever, and we had a lively discussion on it. And we're going to start this year with communion, and what a fitting topic to start the new year with, communion with God. Amen, the Holy Communion. And that's that's the second part of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. We're going to look at the Lord's Supper. It goes by a lot of names. Some people say the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Communion. Some people say the Last Supper. But whatever you call it, we know what it is, Holy Communion. Taking the emblems, speak of the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to look at it in depth this evening. What I have prepared is not conclusive. It's always something more that we can add to it. Amen. To edify the body. But let's just say what I have will just be like a starting point for our discussions. Amen. So we can fill in the blanks as we go along. Communion on a whole, it calls for us to examine our hearts. Amen. It calls for examination, deep examination of our hearts before Almighty God. Forgetting about ourselves. Concentrating on him and just give him undivided attention. Cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. The book itself, we mentioned, written by Apostle Paul. And Paul is speaking here, is writing to a divided Corinthians church. They have all kind of schisms and schisms, all kind of separation going on in this Corinthians church. And if ever a church reminds us so much of the of our churches today or the settings that we're living in now, is the Corinthians church. We would say that the Corinthians church is bad and they are corrupted and they are involved in so many. Such is ours as well, our churches. There's a lot of division going on there. A lot of things that you and I don't agree with. Sometimes you're a part of this of the division as well, and we have to examine ourselves as well to see whether or not we're a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the immediate issue that was happening here that Paul was addressing in the second part of 1 Corinthians 11 is their gathering together, especially during the Lord's Supper. Are it bringing them together for good, or is it reinforcing social divisions? Rather than expressing God's unity, is it for their own good? Is it building them up as a church? Or is it reinforcing what we have read about what was happening in the earlier chapters of 1 Corinthians? Might I remind you that the big picture or the big idea of communion, the Lord's Supper, it is to be a sacred proclamation of Christ's death that must practice by be practicing love, unity, and self-examination. Not in selfishness or favoritism or contempt for other believers, but communion must be practiced in love and unity. The word tells us that for as often as he eat this bread and drink this cup, he do show the Lord's death till he comes. That's verse 26. So we see Paul sharply rebukes the Corinthians church for their conduct during this shared meal. That's the love feast that preceded the communion ceremony. So in the Corinthians church, what they were practicing in that first century, before the communion, before what we call the communion, taking the emblems, the bread and the wine, they would have like a love feast before that. And then after the love feast, they call it love feast. It would be more like just like an eating, rice and peas and chicken or whatever their favorite meals of the day was in that time, their Sunday dinner. They would be eat or whatever it was they were eating, but they would eat a feast before the communion. Amen. Yeah, but Paul wasn't pleased with how they were dealing with it. So we're going to take it in bits as we did it in former studies. We're going to look at verses 17 to 22. We're going to look at the problem right there. The problem, the division and the disrespect that was going on. Verse 17 to 22. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17 to 22. Anyone there read?
Okay, I'll read.
Go ahead, Sister Tamaya.
Know in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also
Stick a
took.
pin right there, Sister Tamaya.
Okay.
Yeah, stick a pin right there. Thank you. Thank you so much. We gonna take that second part in a bit. Yes, but we're looking at the church was broken along a class line. It's like they were separating themselves. The wealthy would arrive early and eat their food, eat lavish food, and get drunk. before the communion. You know, while the poorer members, that the poor members, maybe they were like slaves who would arrive late. They came in hungry and they went hungry because they didn't have the food that the others had, you know, and they would feel like the lesser, they would feel lesser than the others. You know, they would feel ashamed, they would feel completely undermined. You know, and that wasn't portraying the unity that Holy Communion should be portraying, you know, when Paul look at it and stuff. So Paul would say to them that the gathering wasn't for the better, but for the worse. It wasn't edifying them as a body or keeping them unified. It was separating and segregating them. And there was no oneness in it. There was no oneness in it. So Paul didn't agree with it any at all. That was one of the things that Paul would speak strongly against. Said they didn't come for the better, but they came for the worse. And we see where division was showing up in worship and stuff. So church gathering, one of the points that we can identify from this is that church gathering can be spiritually damaging if shaped by selfishness rather than Christ. You know, if we're not focused on Christ and keeping the body in unity, it can damage some. You know, some people will leave. That's why that's where you have people would come up with this term church hurt, you know, because of the behavior of some. So the supper, the Lord's Supper, isn't the Lord's Supper that Paul would have ordained in the beginning when he started the church. It completely changed its form. You know, it completely changed its form in that it was top heavy. You know, some were hungry and others were drunk. You know, the wealthy would have would have a lot of food and wine, and they would have their eating by themselves, you know. So Paul says that they are despising the church of God and humiliating those who have nothing, you know, and that's not good. That's not good going forward. So the table is not a private meal. Our status this are to display your status, the table of the Lord, the Lord's table, communion. It's a family meal expressing equal belonging to in Christ. And if we miss that mark, if we miss that mark right there, it's going to cause for trouble in the camp. Amen. And so the second part of it is we're going to look at why communion was instituted, the institution of the communion, the Holy Communion, remembering Christ's sacrifice. That's what it should be all about, remembering the sacrifice of Christ. And our second reading now would be from verse 23 to 26. Anyone there? 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 26.
Okay, I'll continue.
Okay, Sister Tamaya. So you're going to go back to 23.
Okay. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had sipped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do he as oft as he drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as he eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Yes, so the Lord Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he has given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So Paul would be there retelling the tradition received directly from the Lord. He said, from what I've received of the Lord. The core purpose of the supper, that is communion, is remembrance, remembering Christ. It is a proclamation of Christ's death until he returns. It is a communal act that looks back to the cross and forward to Christ's second coming. So we look back to the cross of Jesus Christ and look forward to his second coming, Advent. Amen. Paul received this tradition and passed it on. Said, "The bread, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup, this cup is a new covenant in my blood." So whenever we eat and drink, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And he also goes on in verse 27 to 34 that we must discern in his body, discern in the Lord's body, the warning. So it will say, "Wherefore, whosoever eat shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." That's how serious it is. Paul went on to say, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That's a very serious offense. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," meaning many die because of that very, very serious offense. If you're taking the emblems that speak of the Lord's body and his blood and not discerning him, these are like an instant judgment that would come upon you. Sick, weak, death, And Paul even went on to say in verse 32 that, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, wait for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come." That sounds a very serious judgment that will come upon you if the communion is taken when you're in an unworthy state. The church that I my maiden church. Communion is all, every communion service is viewed as a sacred service. None, I've never been in a communion setting where in my maiden church where it was taken lightly. When it's communion time, who is not in right standing with God? We have a service before it so we can get people in that folk in that mindset, in that focus, that reflection focus, get rid of whatever impediment that would be in your way, any sin problem that you are faced with, get rid of it, so we'd have that time and we'd wait for each other in order to lay it all out. sort out your folly grounds before venture into taking the sacraments, to how serious it was, so serious it is. Yeah, we wouldn't just we you know find people moving during that time when we're taking communion. You couldn't be getting up, going to the restroom, or getting up, going to anywhere, or it was a time when you just lock in. You don't find people looking around, looking at anybody. You'd be looking inward, in yourself, examining yourself. Most times our head would be like down. It would be like an holy moment that you spend time introspecting and examining yourself. You don't find people coming in to the church at that time. Or you don't find no ushers moving around. It's a time that if a pin is dropped, you'd hear it. It's a silent, it's a solemn hour, where we would know for sure that the presence of the Lord is in the room. That's how deep our discernment could be in that time that we set apart for the Lord's Supper. It wasn't a time where you want your mind to stray or anything. Everything would be set in order right there and when and then. So whenever we eat the bread and drink of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way. Whosoever therefore eat the bread and drink of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood and the body of the Lord. And that's a very serious offense. And the consequences was God's disciplinary judgment. One, weakness. Two, illness. And three, even death within the congregation would happen. So Paul would say, let a man examine himself, discerning the body, discerning the Lord's body, which likely would include Christ's body given in death, and Christ's body, which is equal to the church, with whom they were dishonoring the people in the Corinthian Christians, with whom they were dishonoring. And Paul said, with the consequences that are there. No, none of us want to be in that, to experience those consequences. It's not no normal sickness, not no normal weakness, leading right up to death. So the table is grace. We enter the table by grace, but not casual. Even though it's grace, God's unmerited favor, you can't do nothing to earn it nor achieve it. But yet it's not casual. It's not you just draw yourself there and have your burden with you and refuse to let go of your burden. Refuse to let your burden pass it on to the Lord. You leave, you come there heavy, and you're expecting yourself to leave heavy because you refuse to confess your sins and know that they are forgiven. The Word of God tells us that the hands of the Lord is not short that he cannot bless, nor his ears deaf that he cannot hear. But it went on to say that your sin has separated you from him and causing him not to hear you because of the sin that is in you. Amen. So, a good place to start discerning the Lord's body is the prophecy that is from Isaiah, where is what we read in we'll see it in Isaiah 53, Isaiah chapter 53, where it said, Who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and has a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. For he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him smitten, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like lost sheep, has gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, when we reflect on those words spoken before by the prophet Isaiah as a prophecy, you know, and we see how he was rejected, the man Christ Jesus, or he was rejected. And when we look at him, there was no beauty that we could behold. He was beaten beyond recognition, giving up his body, giving up his life, so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. When we look and see the innocent man being drawn to an ill-shaped place called Golgotha, you know, when the Roman soldiers would nail him to that cross, and before that they would scourge him, they would flog him, and every stripes that he got, every whipping, 39 stripes that he got. Maybe if you ask the Roman soldier, what is he doing? This is Christ the Lord. Maybe the Roman soldier would have told you that I'm just doing my job. But little did the Roman soldier knew that his stripes that he gave Christ represented one sickness that is driven from away from our bodies. Medical researchers would have said that all sickness that has existed in the land, it comes from 39 different types of sicknesses. It stem from 39 different stripes. And that, so we have the assurance as Christians that every stripes that Jesus received, every whip from that cat o' nine's tails trap that he received, it drove away the sickness that would affect our bodies. By his stripes, we are healed. You know, when we look and when we examine, when we are in the presence where there's a communion setting, and we should reflect on what Christ did for us way back on Calvary, when he took our sin on him so that he could now be on the cross and say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because his weight of sin was so much on him. You know, when he was there and he was nailed to the cross, you know, the nails could not have kept him to the cross. It was our sin, your sin and my sin, that kept him up there. He could have disappeared. He could have called 10,000 angels to remove him from that cross, yet he stood there for my sin and for your sin, so that we can have life. So when we're in a communion setting and we're called to reflect, to discern the Lord's body, these are the things that should be going through our mind, that because of who he is, not because of who we are. He was on that cross for you and for me. That's the Lord's body. That's the Lord's body. When the Roman soldier came and they drove the sword through his side, and out comes blood and water. The five bleeding wounds he bear, two in his hands, two in his feet, one in his side. They strongly plead for you and for me. Forgive them, oh, forgive, they cry. He took our sin upon him. Reflection. It calls for reflection. Years ago, a songwriter caught the vision and penned this song. He said, "So many lambs were offered up, but all the blood that was spilled could never fill the bitter cup, till one spotless lamb in the form of a man gave his life on Calvary. His blood, the only blood that could ever set me free. For his blood was not just blood of another spotless lamb, but his blood was precious blood. For it washed the sin of man. And his blood, it heals my body, and it set my spirit free. I am so glad his precious blood still flows from Calvary. No other blood could heal my broken body. No other blood could save my sin-sick soul. No other blood could conquer death and win the victory. No other blood but the blood Jesus shed for me. For his blood was not just blood of another spotless lamb, but his blood was precious blood, for it washed the sin of man. And his blood, it heals my body and set my spirit free. I am so glad." I wonder how many of you tonight can join me and say, "I am so glad his precious blood still flows from Calvary."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The writer to the Hebrew catch the vision when he penned these verses in the 10th chapter of Hebrew, verses 19 to 26. He said, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and in so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." When it comes on to communion, the Lord's Supper, it is not casual. It is serious business. Drawing near to the table, it takes a determination It takes a make up mind, a made up mind on our part to know the reason for the table. Amen. The reason it should not be taken lightly. Paul would admonish them to wait for one another. It's no rush. Practice unity. If you're, Paul said to them, to the Corinthians church, that if you're hungry, eat at home. You know, don't turn up to worship in selfish consumption. You know, and the goal of it is so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. Paul would be addressing in this, in the latter part of this chapter, he would be addressing division at worship, favoritism. He'd be addressing selfishness, humiliation of the poor, you know, irreverence towards God's sacrifice. And also, you'd be addressing the failure to discern the church as Christ's body. How are we doing this first Saturday in 2026 as we reflect on what Christ has done for us? As we reflect on how he has saved us and the plan that he have for us, plan of good, not to harm us, to give us an expected end. Our the sacrifice that he has done for us, how are we sacrificing ourselves for him, our time? How are we sacrificing our mood, our even our, you know, the way we approach the things of God, which are eternal. You know, are we being led in a world of lies that say this world is all we have, so we need to grab it up all now? Or are we looking like Abraham for a land whose builder and maker is God, that has foundation? Are we at a place where we recognize that the very breath that is in our nostril is controlled by Almighty God? Are we at a place where we recognize that ever since the day we were born, we have this heart in us, this physical heart in us that is pumping blood, and it has a rhythm? And if it's not in the rhythm that it is, that it should be in, if you realize that whenever you're feeling ill or you visit the doctor would test your heartbeat if it's beating correctly. And if the heart is not beating to the rhythm that the doctor is expecting, then there is something wrong. No doctor, however, have located a battery or any device that is keeping that rhythm together. We don't have to be plugged in to be charged up or anything, but the rhythm is kept by the Almighty God Himself. And any day we lose that rhythm, it will be a day that we'll see this world no more. What if we should lose that rhythm and not in a correct rhythm with Christ? What will happen to our soul? It's a time of reflection. You know, so Paul would find a solution. He don't only store them up with the problem, but the solution that he gave them was in verse 28, that he said, before partaking Believers are to examine their hearts. Are they right with God? Are they in right relationship with their brothers and sisters? Are they approaching this sacred meal with reverence? The Lord's Supper is about Christ, not about us. It centers on Jesus' body and blood, not personal preference or social status. Unity is not optional at the table. If our participation reinforces contempt, exclusion, racism, and classism, our grudges, we contradict what this supper proclaims. Let us examine ourselves. Am I trusting Christ or treating this as a routine? Am I harboring bitterness and or contempt? Am I ignoring the needs or dignity of other believers? Then Paul is saying, repent and partake in faith. Paul is exceptionally angered that the poor are shamed. A faithful church honors all members. There is no separation. There is no class. You know, where you say, all right, you sit there because you're of a higher pedigree. There's no pedigree in the body of Christ. There is one blood, one precious blood that sheds for all. Amen. So no division. So before communion, confess sin, forgive others, seek reconciliation where possible. During communion, focus on Christ's sacrifice, gratitude, and covenant hope. And after communion, live what you proclaimed: sacrificial love, generosity, unity. And as a church, ensure communion is accessible, reverent, and not shaped by social divisions. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it comes on to the core elements, the core substance of our faith and our beliefs, it melts me down to the core, to the very core. You know, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, you know, my soul find rest. It find rest and cries hallelujah, thanking God for saving grace. I'm going to stick a pin right here for this evening. I'm just going to allow you to share what you think, what communion means to you. You know, how do you view communion? Has it been strengthening to you over the years? You know, are you looking forward to communion service, or how do you feel when you have that little cup of wine in your hand and that piece of bread or wafer in your hand? How does it make you feel as a person? I'm just opening up to anyone that want to come on and just share something about communion.
Bless the Lord. Good night, everyone. Good night, Deacon.
Good night, Sister Camille.
Yeah, so the question was to share what communion means to us. And I
Yes.
think you put it very beautifully, you know. Over the years, I have not been one because at my home church, we don't normally take communion. Like, it's not a set time. You know, I remember growing up, the church I grew up in would take it every Sunday. But, as I would have gotten older, and I didn't even understand what it meant at the time, because they used to have bread and the juice, and they would pass it, and it would have been every Sunday. And after church finish, they would share the bread. So all of us, as children going to Sunday school, would get a piece of the bread. So I would just eat the bread after church, But then as I grew and I became a Christian, and then start going to my local church that I got baptized in, I realized that it was just more than just, because I just thought that every church just eat bread and drink juice on Sundays. But when I got there now, I got an understanding as to what it is. Similar to your church, we would have a service before, a time of corporate repentance. Even coming up to the communion day, pastor would encourage us to fast and to get our house in order, because that's when I understood that if I take communion unworthily, my God, I'm drinking unto my own damnation, And I remember when I heard it the first time, I got scared, and I said, "No, sir, I don't think I want to take it." But she would have told us like the Sunday before, and asked us to fast to get ourselves ready. And then, I remember fasting. I fasted the whole week, because when I realized,
Amen.
what I would be doing to myself, I said, "Oh my God!" I fasted the entire week, and then I went the Sunday, and then we went into repentance as a church. And it's similar to what you would have said, the atmosphere of the church, very somber, reverent. We would have that time when we bow down before the presence of the Lord. For the whole service is just a somber kind of setting. Even when she would speak and read the scripture, it was just that kind of low-key kind of pray. So that's how I know communion to be. And that's how I would partake in it. I would feel strengthened by it, knowing that I'm eating like towards the end. Initially, when me I take it, I was afraid because of what the Word of God says. But as I grew and I understood what true repentance is, and I would go to the Lord, then it became more meaningful to me. All right, that's me. Blessings.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes. Yes, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hand of an angry God. And so it calls on us to really examine ourselves before partaking of the emblems is a very serious business. And most churches have a set time when they have communion, whether it be first Sunday or last Sunday in the month or whatever, or third Sunday, they have would have a set time. And you would find that some Christians or some members of the church would absent themselves during that time. Either they're going to use work as an excuse or something as an excuse because they don't want to be a part of the judgment, and they refuse to change, to break up the fallow grounds. They want to live in sin, dabbling in sin, and still be a member of the church because of the benefits that the church would have to offer them, but they don't want to take part in the Holy Sacrament. Amen. Anyone else want to share your experience with communion?
Okay, my experience is it's a time of self-examination. I really look into myself and look if I'm really worthy to take this sacrament. And it's a moment of reflection. I just reflect on myself, a self-examination, confess my sins, and ask God to forgive me all the errors, all the mistakes, mishaps, all I've done. Ask God's forgiveness. And then I remember how much God loves me because He offered Jesus as a sacrifice. He died and He was resurrected. So, as I said before, and then it's a time of thanksgiving When I take the Lord's Supper, I give God thanks. I worship Him for His goodness, His grace, His love towards me, and His forgiveness.
Amen. Amen, Minister Lynette. Yes, it's indeed. And during that time, the emblems is normally very small, like the little square of bread or the little wafer and stuff. A lot of people would fear in that time. They don't want to be choking up on that communion as well. They don't want no coughing in that communion as well. Is a really sacred time. It's a really time of introspection, reflection, really making yourself transparent before an holy God. You don't want to appear opaque or anything obstructing your blessing there, because the same communion that will cause a damnation unto you, it can be a blessing unto you, because the life is in the blood. And you know that in the body, you are cleansed and refreshed through it all. So the communion service should be a moment of refreshing for the believers, a moment of strengthening, a moment where you have overcome some hurdles and some obstacles that were in your way. Is a way of giving thanks, as I said, Minister. Where you appreciate what the Lord, you look back and see what the Lord has taken you through, what He has done for you, redeemed and set you free. You realize that you have come thus far by faith, leaning on His everlasting arms. You know that you couldn't have made it if it wasn't for Him that has brought you through safely. And when you reflect on those, it gives you a good reason to really concretize your assurance that you are discerning His body in moments like those, that you are discerning Him as your Redeemer, your source in everything. That's what communion means, and it should never loses its favor. It should never be a common ground. It should never be a place where someone who is not a believer is being served communion. It should never be a place where a person who is unrepented is being partaking at the table. It should be for believers. It should be for Christians, those that are being blood washed, those that have been sanctified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not for any and any body to be taking the communion, because it has serious consequences if you take it in an holy way, not discerning the Lord's body, not remembering what the Lord has done for you and for me. It can throw you, it can. Apostle Paul said that you can die if you not deserve, if you take it in an unholy manner. It can cause sickness to come on your body and weakness. It's not free for all. I see even sometimes I see even like babies, mother would take the communion and give it to them and stuff, and that and they may did it in ignorance. Washing of the saints' feet. They might do it in ignorance, but we as a people of God need to really intercede, need to really pray and stuff, because Christianity is serious business. It's serious. We are under grace, yes, but we should not use grace as a license to wallow up in sin or to live any way. Amen. Anyone else want to share before we close off this evening?
Good night.
Good night, Sister Lyria.
I just have a few questions because like if, for example, if you're a believer, right, but you're
Yes.
not baptized, and if you go to church and they offer you the communion, like to kids, and all that, what do you do in that situation?
I like the fact that you said they offer you. So it's up to you to accept or reject. Depends on your connection with God. Communion, you're communing with God.
I mean, I know for myself, when I was younger, I didn't understand it, and I would just drink it, and even, I mean, I didn't understand the whole meaning of it, so I would go to the back after everybody's done, and me and my friend, won't call the name, would go around there and drink up all the, because it's like it's grape juice to us at the time. But
Yes.
now we know the true definition of it. So when I take it, I know I'm taking it because it's like, it strengthens, our spirit and all that, and a moment of renewal and healing and grace as a reflection on Christ, and repentance and all that.
Yes.
But like for example, like when I bring my daughter to church, she's not a Christian. She was not baptized. So what am I supposed to do? Say don't take it? Or I just wanna
Yes.
know from no one, is it the right
Yes,
thing or the wrong thing?
I would advise you, Sister Lyria, to in cases like that, present Christ to her first. Let you know the meaning why she's taking communion. Let her confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as Lord and Savior.
She has done that, but
Yes.
not water baptized.
Yes, but accepting, and I think most churches would specify that the communion is for believers, the members particularly, members of that congregation or any visiting members of another church that is visiting. They are welcome to take the sacraments and stuff. Sister Camille, hold on. Sister Camille, go ahead.
Yes, Deacon, I was about to just say to Sister Lyria to explain to her daughter the same thing that you said, present salvation to her, but then she said it's already done. I think that she could explain to her what this is. Because if you have confessed Jesus, the baptism I believe is very important, but it's a public show. And if the heart is right, you think anything is wrong with taking the communion? If I would say explain to your daughter, what the meaning of it is. Tell her what happens, make her aware of what the word of God says, and kind of guide her into, depending on her age too, into making the decision as to whether or not she would want to take it, knowing what it does, but I don't think it's just me. I don't think that if she wants to do it, knowing what it is and have confessed Jesus and has, repented and, has that connection with Jesus, knowing what it is and say, Mom, I feel like I'm at the place and I want to do it. If she's at a certain age to understand, I don't think baptism would have to be, done before she takes it. But that's my opinion. No. Okay, thank you. 'Cause she's 15, and she, usually before we take it, they will explain, and all that. And I said to her, this is not a joke thing and stuff. And she said, I know, mom. And I mean, we go to church every Sunday and all that. And she reads the Bible, she prays and all that. But she's not water baptized.
Amen.
Um,
Sister Allison.
yeah,
Hi.
just to reiterate what everybody else has said, Sister Luria, as long
Yes.
as she has given her heart to the Lord and she's a believer, and you have already explained to her what it is, she don't have to be baptized. Communion, like baptism, is an outward show that you have accepted Christ, and that is another step that she can do. But she can take the sacrament if she is a believer. She has given her heart to the Lord, and you have explained to her the seriousness of taking it and of doing it unworthily. And they always go over it before they do it anyway. So the pastor will always explain it. And then she's
Yes.
15, so she's old enough to understand. And she said, Mom, I understand. So yes, she can take it as long
Yes.
as she is saved.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes, and
This is something I
might.
always wanted to,
Yes.
clarify.
Yes, might I remind you also that communion is an inner core exercise or activity, is an inner core. To realize that the first communion, the Last Supper for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it was done in the upper room, among just the 12, just the inner, the disciples there and there. It's the core. It's the core being. It's a moment that is called for reflection, and if you're not like exposed to the word or in the word, or know the reason, your mind would still be strained away. So have our under the word, give by all, get our have our water baptized and everything, and yeah, but as we all would say, it's very serious. It's a matter of the heart, poor, and she standing with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes,
I have
yes,
to.
yes.
Amen. Good night, everyone. So,
Good night, sis.
based on the communion, I'm sorry, let me clear my throat a little. Yeah. So, growing up with the Holy Communion, I know my church used to do it every first Sunday. And as a child, even if, because I was like growing up, I wasn't baptized at that time, but I was strongly a believer in Christ and I was going to my Sunday school. I was taking part, I was on the choir, but I wasn't baptized. And my church wouldn't allow me to take the communion until I'm water baptized. So that's why I'm kind of confused. But now that I get older and going to a different church, as you say about believing and you don't have to be water baptized, they would give it to you. But growing up, they wouldn't give it to us. They allow you to baptize first before. So that part I'm kind of, as I get older and listening to the word and reading the word more, that helped me to learn more about the Holy Communion. And when I was younger and see them doing the communion, and I'm like, oh, I believe in Christ, and I know, I believe, but even though I'm not baptized, I wanted to taste this communion. I wanted to taste what they're doing, what the drink, the bread, at that time was bread. So when communion was over, and they have some remaining around the back of the church, I would go around there and drink it out. Drink it
Me
out,
and you.
and try to know what this Holy Communion, because some believer, I talked to them and they said, as long as you believe and you're baptized, you're taking this Holy Communion because of the sacrifice that the Christ has done, and it helps you to feel better. You feel better in yourself. So I wanted to feel this Holy Communion. So I was kind of a bit confused when with water baptism, and you have to not you don't have to baptize, but as long as you confess your sins and you're a believer in Christ, you can take it. So that kind of bring confirmation. I was kind of confused about it because knowing when I was growing up, it was about baptism and communion.
Yes.
Amen. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Sister Ava. Yes, but it's so funny when you look at it. Offering communion to someone, they easily accept it. But offering baptism to them, they would run away from it. They don't want to be baptized, yet they want to take communion, So yeah, they would make several water baptism pass them. But when it, and they don't offer to be water baptized, but as soon as there's a communion, something to eat, they would really say, okay, I would eat a piece of bread and drink some wine, and they would take it. And then the next water baptism would come up and they would still let it pass by and waiting for the next communion and take it. Yeah, I would take it, I believe,
I think that's because back in the days, people, I mean, us as kids, we used to think that we have to be perfect to be Christians. So, 'cause most churches, like around in, especially in the island, they wore the hat and the, and it's like you can't do nothing wrong. But now we understand that you don't have to be perfect because the only person, only perfect person is God. So I think that's why a lot of people were used to avoid water baptism because you used to, you had to like believe, we believe that we had to be perfect.
Okay. Amen. Anyone else before we close off, before we ask Sister Terry to close off for us in prayer? They want to be the blessing, but not the blesser. Amen, Sister Tamaya. They want the blessing from it, but not Christ, who is the blesser. Bless the Lord. Amen. Anyone else want to share before Sister Terry comes with our closing remarks and closing prayer for us? Amen. Sister Terry, are you ready for us?
Good night, Deacon Scott.
Good night, Sister
Good
Terry.
night, people of God.
Good
Happy New
night.
Year to you
Yeah.
all.
Good night,
Happy
Sister
New
Amen.
Year.
Happy
In
New
the name of
Year's.
Jesus.
Good night.
Hallelujah. We thank the Holy Spirit tonight for clarity and deeper
Amen.
clarity for those who may still need further clarification concerning the Holy Communion. But I pray that even as I pray and seek the face of the Lord, that He will answer us individually because He knows us as individuals. He knows our situations and He knows where we are. And I am so
Amen.
pleased to know that Jesus came and He didn't just die to give us salvation. There's so many gifts, so many precious gifts that He gives to us that we oftentimes overlook, even this very communion. Many times we are so sick in our bodies, but we have to examine ourselves and ask ourselves the question, do we really believe? Are we having the faith that when we take this communion, we're going to be healed? Or we just see it as the grape juice, as we saw it as children, and the little piece of bread or crackers. What the power, how powerful is it in our lives to change us, to transform us, to keep us at a place of holiness. And even if we fail, it prompts us to remain there, to stay there, and to get up quickly and brush ourselves off rather than just dwelling there. And so tonight, as I seek the face of the Lord on our behalf, it's a new year, it's a new season. We want to thank Him for His blood, His precious blood, that is able to heal,
Hallelujah.
that is able to deliver, that is able to set free. And we want to thank Him for His flesh, the representation of His flesh, that even as we eat, the healing will come in every area of our lives,
because we are all experiencing issues in one way or the other in our lives. Let us pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God of Daniel, God of Moses, Daniel's God, our Holy One, the Holy One of Israel, the one who is and was and forever shall be, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. We honor you tonight.
Amen.
We say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for
Thank
your
you,
forgiveness.
Jesus.
Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you for your servants. Thank you even for this ministry, mighty God, this opportunity that we have to be able to worship you through a Bible study, mighty God, to know you, to understand you. Lord God Almighty, we just want to honor you. And even as we come, Lord God Almighty, I pray that you will fill me up, you will pour into me, you will cleanse me, you will wash me, you will purify me, O God Almighty. Consecrate me from the inside out, mighty God, and all of us who are here believing, so that, mighty God, the power of the Lord will come down. Because we know that one shall chase 1,000, but two shall put 10,000 to flight. So
Yes,
as we
Lord.
come in agreement, mighty God, we ask for your manifested presence among us, Lord Jesus. We ask for clarity. We ask for holy wisdom. We ask for knowledge and understanding. Search us, Lord God Almighty, thoroughly. Search us on the inside, mighty God, from the inside out. Our
Hallelujah.
thoughts, oh God Almighty, our mind, Lord Jesus, even now, wherever we are, we ask that you meet us there. Lord, we make ourselves vulnerable before you tonight because,
Yes,
Lord, at the
Lord.
beginning of this year, we are desperate for you. We
Hallelujah.
recognize that we can't make it without you, Lord. We need your presence, Lord. And we can't just have a desire for your presence. We have to allow ourselves to become that sacrifice,
Jesus,
Almighty
yes,
God,
Lord.
so that you can use us. So, Almighty God, you can fill us so that there's an overflow, mighty delivering God. I thank you for your servant tonight as he has brought the word. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, for his willingness, his consistency, and his commitment. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who has enabled him, mighty God, to continue this
Yes,
work.
Lord.
Mighty God, even now I pray, Lord God Almighty, that he will not come down. Despite, hallelujah, all the Sanballat and Tobiah spirits, Lord, he will
Oh,
not come down. Let him
Jesus.
stay flat-footed, mighty God. Let him remain steadfast, O God Almighty. Despite the discouragement, mighty God, we ask of
Oh,
you,
God.
hallelujah, to give him a spirit of boldness and of power, that even on
Yes,
Bible studies,
Lord.
Lord God Almighty, can turn out into a deliverance service because of your word,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Lives will be changed. Healing will take place, mighty God, hallelujah. Dead things will live again, Lord God
Hallelujah.
Almighty. I
Yes,
pray for a
Lord.
fresh new anointing for this new year and for the leadership of his ministry, Lord God
Jesus.
Almighty. And I pray, oh God Almighty, that you will just baptize them afresh. Give them a
Hallelujah.
fresh new anointing, mighty God, to continue on this journey in the name of Jesus Christ of
Jesus.
Nazareth. Lord God Almighty, let the word that he speaks and he shares every night, and we all share together, mighty God, let it take root in our lives, Lord. Let things not
Hallelujah.
be the same again. Let it not be just a ritual that we go to because we know that we should just go at 8 o'clock. Let us come prepared,
Oh,
mighty God.
Jesus.
Let us take an interest, mighty God. Let there be
Yes,
intentionality, mighty
Lord.
God. Hallelujah. Let us seek you for understanding before we go. Let us seek your holy
Hallelujah.
presence before we go. Because, Lord God Almighty, we need your word and we need it to become fully active
Thank
in
you,
our lives, mighty
Jesus.
God. We don't just want to read the Bible and by the time we leave, we forget about what the Holy Communion is all about. When the enemy intercepts, when he challenges us with our health, Lord, we forget that that we have a precious Savior who died, who took the lashes for every sickness, whose name is bigger than every
Oh
other name,
God,
Lord. Let the word of God soak in
Jesus.
our hearts, Lord God Almighty, so that we will know, and with authority we can speak to sickness and disease. We speak to situations.
Yes,
We speak
Lord.
to everything that's a hindrance to our God-given purposes, mighty God. Father God, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your holy
Oh,
anointing, for your Holy
Jesus.
Spirit to saturate us, mighty God.
Yes,
Fill us up,
Lord.
almighty God. Hallelujah. So there be no room left for doubt. Mighty delivering God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for a new touch from you. Make
Yes,
us
Lord.
whole. Make us whole. Hallelujah. Like
Oh,
the woman at the
Jesus.
with the issue of blood, Lord, she pressed
Mighty
through the
God.
crowd, mighty God, and she touched the hem of your garment. And Lord God Almighty, we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus, we thank you that we're
Hallelujah.
going to press through the issues. We're going to press through the naysayers. We're going to press through every situation, the lack, oh God Almighty. We're going to
Mighty
press through
God.
the long suffering. We're going to press through the uncertainty. And we're going to go with intentionality that
Yes,
even if I don't
Lord.
understand, even if I can't see, even if no one says it to me, even if I feel
Oh,
offended, I'm going to
Jesus.
touch the hem of your garment so that I
Hallelujah.
can be made whole in the name of Jesus. So,
Jesus.
Lord God Almighty, examine us one more time. And those of us who have issues, mighty God, anoint us afresh to press
Yes,
through,
Lord.
mighty God, so we can touch the hem of your garment, Lord God Almighty, because we are determined to stand. We are
Hallelujah.
determined to go on with you, mighty God. We are determined not just to have you as our Savior, but as our Lord,
Oh,
as our
God.
guide,
Yes,
mighty God.
Lord.
We are determined tonight to be totally surrendered to you, Almighty
Mighty
God.
God.
It's not an easy thing to do, Lord God Almighty, but we ask for grace to submit
Yes,
to
Lord.
you, to let go of the fears and the doubt and everything holding us back, the relationships, Almighty God, the jobs, the
Oh,
things that
God.
we are afraid of. Let us be committed. Let us trust you a little deeper. That, like, hallelujah, Jesus, Abraham, he'll just tell us, give us the instruction, and we leave everything behind and just go and let you show us,
Jesus,
mighty God.
Jesus.
We need a deeper level of trust. We don't want to
Oh,
just talk about it,
hallelujah.
Lord. And when it comes, when the fire comes, we can't go through it, mighty God. We want to experience, we want to know that we know that we know. So, Lord God Almighty,
Mighty
let us
God.
not take Bible studies, mighty God, as just a ritual, but it's a place, a camp where we come to learn how to
Jesus.
war, where we come to learn how to stand against the wiles of the adversary.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
Jesus.
where we are equipped to deal with the situations in our homes that are plaguing us, when the enemy comes to
Yes,
disrupt
Lord.
our families, Lord, we open our mouth and speak, thus said God Almighty. We use it as our sword against the enemy in the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God
Hallelujah.
Almighty. Thank you for that anointing. And we will not leave.
Yes,
We
Lord.
refuse to leave tonight in the name of Jesus without you coming, without your Holy Spirit coming to help us. And I present all of us before you, Lord God Almighty. And I
Yes,
commit our
Lord.
lives into your hands, Lord. Yes, we crossed over, but we are still looking ahead. We are looking forward, mighty God. And so we ask for your divine protection. We ask, oh God Almighty, hallelujah, for healing and deliverance. We ask you
Hallelujah.
in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hallelujah. Glory to God. We ask you to come by here, oh God Almighty. Cause us never
Yes,
to look
Lord.
back. Cause us, Lord God Almighty, that even if at the beginning of the year we are hanging by a thread, we're still gonna climb life's mountain, knowing that you
Hallelujah.
are God, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Equip us for the things that are ahead, mighty God, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Speak to us, Lord. Let us not just wanna
Yes,
talk to you, but we
Lord.
wanna hear from you, Lord. Oh God
Hallelujah.
Almighty. humility. Show us the way. Show us the way to salvation. Show us how to be holy. Show us how to be kind. Show us how to obey your
Hallelujah.
commandments. Sometimes it's not so easy for us to do, Lord. And we ask you to help us, Lord, because we need it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I
Jesus.
say thank you for healing and deliverance. Thank you for restoration of families and brokenness. Thank you, mighty God.
Yes,
Hallelujah,
Lord.
for added strength and empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for baptism of the Holy Spirit for those who are not yet baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Thank you for a
Lord.
fresh new anointing for those who have already been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We need your
Hallelujah.
empowerment, Lord. And we say thank you. Thank you, mighty God. Whatever I fail to ask of you
Jesus.
concerning us, your people, bless our nation, bless all the country that we live in, bless America, bless Jamaica, bless Canada.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, help us to be a light, cause us to be a salt in the earth. Cause us, mighty God, to be a reflection of you in our workplaces as we go out, mighty God. Let it not be that our integrity is tested because of the way we walk and the way we talk, but let us demonstrate the character of you, mighty God. And those of us who don't know how to do it, Lord, help us fix our tongue, deliver us from gossip, deliver us from
Yes,
lies.
Lord.
Deliver us from envy. Deliver us from idle jesting. Deliver us from the worldly lust. Deliver us, oh God Almighty, from everything, hallelujah, that hinders us to grow in you. I say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
you, Lord God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Amen
Hallelujah.
and
Amen.
amen. In the
Amen.
name
Bless
of
the Lord.
Jesus. Amen.
Bless the
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Sister
Thank you,
Terry. Bless the
Lord. Thank
Lord.
you.
Bless
Bless
the
the name
Lord.
of Jesus. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Yes, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you all. Amen. Give God thanks and looking forward to seeing on Thursday for our midweek worship. Thursday, the same line, same link on a Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central Time. Amen. So looking forward to see you Thursday next for a wonderful time of worship for a midweek service. Greet each other as we go. I don't think there's no other announcement. Sister Nicole is unavoidable absent. She said to send her love over. I haven't got any other absentee so far. So greet each other as you go in.